Hey, it's your wingman, Dean Cortez, and right now in this session, we're going to get very deep and scientific about a topic that is very near and dear to my heart. I'm talking about strippers, okay? They're exotic, they're erotic, they're sometimes psychotic, but you know what? The strip clubs in your area, or in the places you probably travel to, like Las Vegas or international strip clubs, they contain some of the finest women you will come across. And you know what? They all say they don't date customers, but you know what? I've been with tons of them, and the girls that I've been with, I've met their friends who are also strippers, and all these girls are dating guys and sleeping with guys that usually they met in the club. Really, the bottom line is, if you behave like a customer and you play her game and you follow her suggestions, which are all about getting you to spend money, she will treat you as a customer, and you will have no chance of ever seeing her outside of the club. Now, when you frame yourself differently, okay, and you use a very specific set of tactics and techniques to build a real connection with her and to make her feel sexual attraction, to make her actually forget she's even working, and all she knows is you're this cool, confident, original guy who's kind of messing with her and making her turned on, that's when strip clubs, in my experience, become even more fun and even better than trying to meet girls in regular bars and nightclubs. So, right now in the studio, I have a very special guest to discuss strip club game. He goes by the name Gambler. He's from London, and he is the founder of PUA Training. That's Pickup Artist Training, which right now is one of the top companies in the game, holding international seminars that teach guys how to elevate their confidence and their skills with women in every way. He's also an expert on strip clubs, and he's been with some of the very hottest girls over in the UK and also in the US and in other countries as well. And so he's here to share some tactics and some methods that I think you will find very interesting and helpful. Gambler, let me start by asking you, before we jump into the strip clubs, about your own background. You know, were you a natural? Were you one of those guys who always had a way with women? Or was this an ongoing process for you, you know, learning this stuff and getting better over time?
Well, I definitely wasn't a natural. Guys that see me nowadays, they do find it hard to believe that I was ever really bad.
Really?
So I do carry an old picture in my back pocket so I can kind of show them what I used to be like. And in that picture, you can see that I didn't look as good, but you can also see that that was a guy that was just, you know, very depressed and unhappy.
Hmm.
I was bullied at school. I was really unpopular, and with women as well as just generally socially, I was really bad. I was very, very shy and introverted. So I kind of had the worst of everything. By the time I was 21, I didn't really have any friends, and I'd never had a girlfriend, never kissed a girl at 21 years old. So
wow.
I was a real late starter, and it was all because of this extreme shyness. Until when I was about 25, I still hadn't realized that it was something that I could do anything about, and so I was still really, really bad with women. I'd kissed two girls by the time I was 25, 26. Then what happened was I, by chance, found out about this stuff. I found out about the pickup stuff, and I started just getting into the theory. I decided that I was going to make a massive change to my life. I was living in Cambridge, which is a smaller city, and I decided to move to London. That was good for many reasons. I think living in Cambridge was, you know, wherever you are, wherever your situation is, you've got kind of existing anchors and associations with, you know, with the place you are. So it could be the house you live in, it could be the people you associate with. And if you want to really totally change who you are, it's tough to do that without also changing your location. So I moved to London. I started kind of first meeting these strange guys off the pickup forums, and I started going out as much as possible, four or five nights a week, talking to 20 women every time I go out, and it happened pretty quickly. I learned things pretty quickly. It took a few months to get to a level where I could kind of approach girls and, mm-hmm. and get dates.
Well, you also went on to not only learn the game and get girls, but you actually formed one of the top pickup companies in the world, you know, PUA Training. So how did you actually make that leap as far as developing this into a business?
That was something, again, that happened. There wasn't much plan in there. It kind of happened by chance. So I actually had a training from one of the gurus, and he charged me like $1,000 for a night out. And I went out with him, and this was after I'd been doing things myself for a couple of months. And it just wasn't that great. And before I went out, I kind of framed it as win-win. So I decided that either he'd be really good and I'd learn a lot, or if it's not that good and it's a waste of money, it means that maybe this is something I could do. So what happened was, right maybe a month or two after that, I started doing one-on-one trainings and I started charging about $20 an hour. So I knew that I was able to give value at that price for sure. This was a price where, you know, I wasn't making any profit. Anyone that runs websites and things know that there's a lot of costs involved in advertising. So this wasn't making me any money. But what it was doing was it was forcing me to spend 12 hours with one guy working on his game, working on day game, working on night game. Right. I made a rule where I had to demo. You know, before I got them to do any approaches, I had to demo a successful approach. Mm-hmm. So by the time I'd done like 35 of those one-on-one training sessions, my game had been, been forced to get way, way better. That was combined with spending some time with a guy who I still consider the best that I've ever seen, a guy called Steve. I spent 6 weeks on holiday with him. We went out every day. And I got to the point after around 6 or 7 or 8 months that I was very confident with my game. It carried on getting better after that, but at that point, I'd begun to, get a bit of demand, and people wanted to train with me. Word of mouth was good, reviews were good, and the company kind of grew from there. I was asked to write a book, and I think that, we did a lot better than any of the other companies in Europe, so we were kind of left as the, the big boys in Europe. And from there, my reputation has grown because of the kind of style of game that I teach, and because mm-hmm. a lot of people like it.
Oh, definitely. And Gambler, I also want to ask you, what is your take nowadays on the seduction community? And for those listeners that don't know what that means, the seduction community is a large online presence right now. A lot of websites, a lot of internet gurus, they call themselves gurus, who are selling products and doing seminars and claiming to know all the secrets of how to pick up girls. But what they're really doing is they're just recycling information that I wrote or that other guys who pioneered this stuff wrote. So to you guys listening right now, I would say congratulations on finding one of the very rare products that actually delivers the goods and is written by guys who actually are out there in the field getting it done every night. And that's why Gambler is here. He gets it done. But Gambler, anyway, I want to get your take on this whole community. You know, where does PUA Training, your company, fit into this? And how are you different than the so-called gurus who are teaching guys how to get girls?
Yeah, it's a tough thing. I've got kind of a love-hate thing with the community. So I'm very grateful that I was able to find out about this stuff and really change my life, to go from someone that's depressed to someone that's really happy and really is, because of the community. I'm in touch with a lot of the gurus from other companies, and I like some of them and I don't like some of them. I don't like guys that will release a product and charge an incredibly high price. Uh-huh. Just because their marketing guy told them to. I don't like the guys that would rather train, four guys at $4,000 instead of, 12 guys at 1,000 or whatever. I mean, once this turns into a business, you've got the bills to pay, you've got your staff to pay. But I do like to keep in mind that I'd like to reach as many people as possible. So when it comes to, pricing our products or thinking about what we offer, I tend to take that into consideration, and charge the price that I think the guys will definitely get value at compared to the other guys. I don't really like a lot of the gurus' attitude towards women. I think a lot of them don't like women. I think that a lot of the game taught is too much about outer game, too much focused on kind of changing who you are.
Absolutely.
Repeating lines, repeating routines. And although that appeals to men who want to kind of do this, do that, then you'll get laid. In the long run, what you want is kind of a model to be able to go out and be successful with women, but at some point settle down with a girlfriend or a wife and have her still be attracted to you. And to do that, it really is the kind of natural approach that's the only one that works. And I'm not sure about how, you know, how the other guys teach natural game, but I'm very comfortable with the way we teach things, both, you know, as something that works for the guys and also something that, you know, women wouldn't object to, you know, so women can't say we're creating guys that are manipulative or that, you know, evil monsters. You know, we're just taking guys that are, you know, lacking a bit of confidence, but are really good guys, and we're helping them, giving them the, you know, the chance to make that good impression and know what they're doing so that they get some results.
Well, Gambler, I want to segue towards strip clubs, and this next question sort of ties into that, because in strip clubs, in my experience, it's all about knowing how to close the deal. Now, a lot of guys who are studying from other gurus, going to seminars from so-called pickup artists, they're learning a lot of like clever, funny routines, how to be cocky and funny, but they're not learning how to escalate, how to get things to that next level. You can be the funniest guy in the room, but if you don't know how to push a woman's attraction triggers, you know what? She is not going to go home with you that night or next Friday. So do you feel this is one of the shortcomings of a lot of the systems out there? Teaching guys how to open, how to be funny and clever, but not really coaching them on how to get the girl in their bed, which, you know, my program on strip club seduction is really all about.
Yeah, I think there's a huge focus on opening, and there's very little focus on escalation. I think escalation is taught very badly. And yeah, for sure, when it comes to the relationship stuff, that is taught really badly. We do touch on it on our boot camp, because I know that one of the worst things is to kind of get into the game and start getting results, and then maybe you meet a girl and you start dating her and then she dumps you. You know, that's one of the worst things that can happen. So it's definitely something that you want to take a bit of a longer term view on things and not just focus on the first 5 minutes like a lot of guys do. Another thing you might notice when you look at the gurus is because they're using routines, they're not actually cool people. They're not guys that you think would be cool to hang out with. And if you were a woman, you probably wouldn't be attracted to them naturally. And for me, that's a sad thing, that a guy's maybe talked to, you know, 5,000, 10,000 women, and he's not become any cooler, any more in tune with women, any more kind of naturally cool and confident. And that's something that, you know, when you focus too much on outer game and what you're saying, that's something that can happen. It's a danger, is that you can get stuck because you're not actually improving as a person.
Oh, yeah. You know, a lot of guys that I've coached, Gambler, a common thing that I see is that guys will learn these techniques and these skills, and they'll go out there, they'll be super social, they will approach, you know, 10 girls a night, where in the past they might have never approached any girls at all. But what happens is they will use these techniques to get a girl to come home with them and then to become their girlfriend. And now they're dating a girl who's a hottie, you know, out of their league, they would have thought before. But what happens is they immediately then revert back to being their old wussy self, as I call it. They stop using the principles of being an alpha male, being a Mac, however you want to define it. And they are trying to please this woman that they're with, trying to hold on to the relationship, you know. And what happens is because they stop following the principles that guys like you and I teach, the girl ends up dumping them. She loses interest. Let me get your thoughts on this.
Sure, yeah, I think it's pretty easy to understand, because you focus so much on the first hour or whatever of an interaction. You do that over and over, and maybe a girl meets you when you've done a few hundred approaches or whatever, and she's like, wow, this guy's confident, he knows what he's doing, that's really good. And then you get into a relationship with her, and you haven't been in that situation before, you're not well practiced at that, and you make mistakes. And you forget all the rules, you forget everything, and a thing to bear in mind, guys, if you look at yourself in a relationship where it's going wrong and think about this, this girl was attracted to you when you first met her. What were the qualities you were displaying? Were you confident? Were you cocky? Were you sexual? You know, all of that stuff. And then how are you once you're in a relationship? Are those qualities still there? If they're not, it's only natural that she's not going to be attracted to you anymore, and she's going to start looking at other guys that display those qualities. So that's something to bear in mind, is keeping the things that she was initially attracted to and displaying those in a relationship. In a relationship, you do have more room for error. You can make a mistake and still recover it. You know, it's harder to do in the first 5 seconds, but in a relationship, you can make a mistake and you'll get a second chance. But you still need to remember the, you know, the things she was attracted to you, and that the rules do still apply, and you can't become this wuss guy that starts just giving more every as she gets, you know, less and less attracted. You just give. That's the most common mistake guys make, is they get desperate and needy in the relationship, mm-hmm. and they forget all of the things they've learned and all of the things they did when they first met her.
No, it's so true. I'm living proof. I got to be honest, you know. When I first moved to Las Vegas and, you know, my game was not together yet, I actually started dating a stripper, you know, sort of through blind luck. I met her at the club and she was kind of into me. I was into her. She was brand new in town. But I blew it because I started to become needy. I was always kissing her ass and wanting to see her all the time. And I look back on it now and I just want to kick myself in the ass for blowing it the way that I did. And she was totally hot, this gorgeous Asian girl who had just moved to Vegas, and so had I, and so we sort of struck up this friendship, you know, based on that. But anyway, gambler, that's all in the past. We've had many since then. And I want to ask you, what has your experience been with strip clubs? You're from London, but you've been throughout the U.S. Tell us about your experience in this whole strip club game.
All right, cool. Well, I've been to strip clubs all over the world. So I've been to strip clubs in Vegas. I've been to strip clubs in New York. I've been to strip clubs in London, of course, Moscow, you know, Latvia, everywhere, Latvia. Everywhere I can think of. I think I even went to one in Iceland. So, you know, I've been to strip clubs in a lot of places, and there are a few differences. In London, you've got, you know, the sleazy and the classy ones. But I think there's different kind of social perceptions of the strip club. There's different amounts of money the women can make, and there's different kind of lines between stripper and, let's say, escort. So, mm-hmm. you know, in London, a lot of the girls that are strippers, they can make up to, you know, $1,500 a night.
Sure.
On average. The top strippers in the top strip club will make that. And they're girls that have done it for a few years. They're incredibly savvy, socially intelligent, very confident. But you've also got a lot of girls that are maybe at university. They want to earn some extra money, and they realize that in a classy strip club, they're the ones in control. They're going to make good money. It's going to be, you know, a good job to do for a few months to save up some cash.
Right.
And so you've actually got a lot of intelligent, and, you know, good girls work in there. So I wouldn't even, you know, preclude getting a girlfriend from a strip club. But I do really recommend it for guys, and there's a couple of reasons. The first is, you know, you can actually game the strippers, mm-hmm. which I'm sure we're going to get on to talking about.
For sure.
But the second is that you can do a lot of good for your game just generally by going to a strip club with something in mind. And that's that in there, you're going to be approached, and the girls approaching you are going to be extremely confident and sexually confident.
That's right.
So I remember the first time I went to a strip club, I was sweating, I was shaking, I couldn't hold eye contact, I was incredibly nervous. And of course, if I'm like that in the strip club, I'm going to be like that when I meet a beautiful girl anywhere, to some degree. So the next time I went to a strip club, I was a bit more comfortable. And there was one point when I went to a strip club, and I walked in, and the girl walked up to me and got quite close. And she was very confident. She was trying to intimidate me, being very sexual. And she said, you know, the usual thing. She was like, you know, what's your name? And looked at me. And I took a step forward and got right nose to nose with her. And I said, I'm Richard. And she went, ooh, like that. Wow. You know, she was affected by it. And in that moment, I realized, you know, I could handle this really beautiful, really confident stripper, and therefore handling another girl in another situation wouldn't be a big deal. So for guys that lack, you know, that sexual confidence, that aren't good at holding eye contact, all of that stuff, go to a strip club, you know, just get one drink and sit there and have these women come up to you and just hold your own. Don't look away. Don't, you know, and until you're comfortable and you're desensitized, stick in there until you're at the point where they can come and sit on your lap and stare at you and have their boobs in your face and all of that stuff. And you just give it back. And if they say something sexual, you match it.
Right.
You don't, you know, laugh nervously. Until you're man enough to handle that situation, you won't be able to pick up every type of girl.
True, true.
And before I was able to do that, one of my friends said, oh, you always date these really nice girls, these sweet girls. And he used to like these really dirty ones, these, you know, kind of porn star stripper type girls. And I thought that I didn't like that type of girl and that I wanted the sweet girl. But in reality, that was the only girl that I could handle, was this really sweet, innocent girl. And the funny thing was, she probably wasn't even that sweet and innocent if I'd known how to bring out her, you know, her naughty side. So it's something that I think will make you more of a man, will teach you a lot of things about confidence, sexual confidence, intensity, sexual tension, all of that stuff. It's also nice just to, you know, just to be approached and to be in the position of, you know, that a beautiful girl might be in a regular club where she's approached all the time. So for pretty much every guy, I'd recommend you go and, you know, practice some strip club stuff, if only to, you know, increase your confidence. And when you have that mission in mind, it doesn't matter if you're picking up, you're still going to get a lot out of it.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. But I want to ask you next about the most common mistakes that you see guys making in strip clubs, or that you might have once made yourself. The most common one that I see is, and I would say 95% of guys in strip clubs make this mistake, if not 99%, is they allow themselves to go into the customer role. You know, the girl walks up, starts doing her sales routine, flirting with him, asking him questions, and he goes along with her flow and with her suggestions. I mean, strippers really are salespeople. You know, they are really good at it, too. The top strippers that I've come across, these girls could work on a car lot, and they would be selling cars left and right. I mean, they really understand psychology, and especially male psychology, which is why it's so important to know how their game works and then not play that game. I think one of the really cool things about the book that I wrote, Strip Club Seduction, is that for virtually anything a stripper says to you or asks you to do, you've got a really cocky, playful, unexpected response that turns the tables. And it's going to make her think, you know, this guy is not a typical customer. He's not like most of the guys that are sitting here dealing with me. And therefore, she won't treat you as a customer. And that's the first step in the progression towards actually meeting her outside of the club and hooking up with her. So, Gambler, back to you. What are some of the common mistakes that you see guys making in the strip clubs?
The mistakes in the strip club are pretty much the same as the mistakes you might make in a normal club. So it's kind of being the same as all the other guys. The other guys are there and they're just there to, you know, get a free look at some naked bodies, and they're going to be very obvious in how much they're enjoying that. The women that work at the strip club generally don't like the customers.
That's true.
You know, they don't like their job and they don't like the customers. So categorizing yourself with those guys is bad. Most guys will have a certain conversation with a stripper. They'll say, you know, oh, can you do that trick on the pole? And you go to the gym, and where are you from? And, you know, how long have you worked here? It's the same old questions. So, again, the mistakes they're making is kind of identifying themselves with the other guys in there that are customers, and also just going down the same track and answering the same questions. And if you've done that with a girl, you've pretty much blown your chances to seduce her, I'd say.
Yeah, and you know what I said earlier about the importance of, right from the very beginning, as soon as you begin the interaction, as soon as she walks up and tries to talk to you or tries to sit on your lap, right from the get-go, you've got to turn the tables. At no point should you allow yourself to play into her routine. You know, those questions that she asks every customer, and the way she, you know, bats her eyelashes and the little flirtatious signals she gives. You don't want to buy into any of that. You want to start it off on the right foot, which is you controlling the flow.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, to put it another way, you need to take control, take the lead, and, you know, basically get her off her sales pitch, because it's never going to work as long as she's on her kind of... She's got her one-minute sales pitch, you know, five questions, and then ask you for a dance. And, you know, if you can get her off course a bit and take control of the conversation, you've at least bought yourself some time to try and do something else with it.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, Gambler, I've often said that, you know, strip clubs are very similar in a lot of ways to picking up girls at a bar or a nightclub. A lot of the same tactics apply. A lot of the stuff that I teach in MAC Tactics definitely does apply. But I would say it applies more to once you see her outside of the club. When you are actually in the strip club interacting with her, there are a lot of specific rules and techniques that are in my book that you got to use. Because for one thing, the time frame is compressed. You've got to work pretty quickly. You're not going to get an hour to hang out with this girl and vibe with her and connect with her if you're not spending any money. She may want to hang with you all night. But the management is keeping an eye on things. You know, the bouncers are walking around, and she is expected to be hustling. So you've got to work pretty fast, and you can pull it off, absolutely. Also, strippers have a lot of preconceived notions about the guys in the club. You know, she views you as a customer until you prove otherwise. She's going to assume you are there because you don't really have a lot of game, and you're there in the club to buy lap dances and check out the women and be just like all the other customers in the place. But you're going to prove otherwise when you use these tactics. So, Gambler, in your experience, what are some of the key differences between picking up girls in a regular environment, say, a regular bar or nightclub, versus getting it done in the strip club?
There's a lot of differences picking up girls in the strip club. The girls approach you, so you can just chill and sit there and they're going to come up to you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, if you're talking to a girl in a club and you're having a conversation, you can think that things are going well. In the strip club, you are going to have conversations, and that can't be any indication of how well you're doing with the girl. She will smile at you. She'll give you fake IOIs. She'll touch you. She'll do these things to make you more likely to take a dance. So there's a different kind of set of signals that will show you that you're getting somewhere in a strip club versus in a normal club. The same rules do not apply. So there are tons of differences. There is also the time factor, and in your mind you have to realize that, you know, at some point she wants to ask you for a dance, she wants to try and make some money, and so you have to kind of do you have to demonstrate enough before that happens for her either not to ask you or for you to be able to deal with it if she does.
Okay, well, let's move on and talk about escalation, because in my experience, it is really crucial in strip clubs especially that when you meet a girl and the sparks are flying and you're vibing and you're building that connection, that rapport, you've got to do whatever it takes to see her after her shift ends that night and try to close the deal with her. Get her back to your place and bang her that same night. Yes, you can get her phone number and you can call her and text her. She will often flake out. She'll take forever to return your phone calls, or she might never return your phone calls at all. That is their nature. They live chaotic lifestyles. They work all night. They're often drinking. They sleep late. And when they wake up, they have a limited amount of time to get their errands done and then report back to the job, where they're meeting new guys all the time. So whenever possible, go for that same night lay. And it's explained in the program. I don't know, Gambler, it may be different in the UK at the clubs you go to, but in Las Vegas, I just find that the 24/7 nature of the clubs and the stripper lifestyle in Vegas, it tends to make it challenging to meet the girl, get her number, and then arrange a date in the future. You know, my success has always been in that same night lay, meet her after work and get it done right then. But Gambler, what do you think about this?
All right, well, I've got a little bit of a different take on that, because if I go to a strip club, I'm going to go there, In the UK, you're kind of looking at a 9 till 4, you know, peak time. So most of the strippers will finish work at 4. I know things go a lot later in Vegas, but most of the girls in London, they're finishing around 4. So if you want to stick around and take them home, it's quite a long wait. You know, it doesn't happen too often. However, most of the strippers do meet their boyfriends in the strip club just because their hours are so antisocial that they can't really meet men in other places. So if you're talking to a stripper that's worked there for a couple of years, she's most likely dated guys that she's met in the strip club before, and it will be possible for you to kind of get her out of there. Versus a normal club, if I go to a normal club, I wanna take the girl home that night. It's a lot easier to, in my opinion, to kind of, you know, have the girl come back for an after party or whatever. And so if I'm in a nightclub, 90% of the time I'm going for taking the girl home instead of getting a number.
Right.
But if I'm in the strip club, I'm pretty confident in going for a number at the right time and having it be solid. I've probably got, I think, 4 out of 4 the past 4 times I've gone, I've got 4 out of 4 for getting a girl's number and meeting her again. I don't really do flaky numbers, so I could talk about how I did that, but I've got a 4 out of 4 hit rate for the last few times that I've gone.
Hey, 4 for 4, very respectable. So next question, getting phone numbers. Another difference between Mac and girls in regular bars and nightclubs and strip clubs is that, you know, I teach some very solid techniques for getting girls' phone numbers. It's very easy to do. But in strip clubs, you've got to be kind of subtle about it because the management is watching over them and they're not supposed to give their phone numbers out. They'll always accept your phone number. If you write it on a napkin or on a business card and give it to them, they will never reject it. They'll be polite and say, you know, thank you. And I have had strippers call me first, which was always cool. But, you know, when I used to date a stripper and she used to live with me, she would come home from work every night at like 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, and she would show me. She had a purse full of phone numbers and business cards from guys at the club, and she would dump it all in the trash and we would laugh. But it's amazing how many phone numbers these girls get. So, Gambler, tell me some of your tips as far as getting phone numbers, or how do you play the phone number game with a stripper to ensure that you will be talking to her again very soon?
The funny thing was, I mean, the first stripper I ever got, it was quite funny. I got her, she actually took my number.
Nice.
So she got me to go to the bathroom and write down my number and then give it to her on a piece of paper. They do get in a lot of trouble if they ever, you know, if their boss ever sees anything going on like that. Especially in London, there's a lot of worry about them being escorts and things. So setting up dates outside the strip club is something that will get them fired. So I wrote down my number. I gave it to her. I was kind of 50-50 about whether she'd call or not. This is not my usual tactic to give a girl my number. But she actually called up and I had it planned and I was going to say, you know, let's go for a drink near my house and then I'll take you back to my house. I wasn't going to tell her that, but that was the plan in my head.
Right.
And she actually called up and I said, okay, so let's go to a bar. And she said, no, I'm going to come to your house, buy a bottle of wine.
Perfect.
Send me the address. And I was like, wow. So she was a lot more forward than I would have expected. And actually, the other dates with strippers, they've always ended up at my house, you know, within like an hour of meeting them. Two have come directly and the rest have been, you know, go to a bar and then back to my house. Maybe sometimes I might meet them in a nightclub, but generally it's easy to get them back to the house.
Yeah, definitely. And in the Strip Club Seduction book, you know, there's a part in the book, before I ever talk about when you're actually in the club, what to do, I talk about the importance of preparing your home to host a stripper, or any girl for that matter, later on tonight. You know, it begins with preparing your home and setting it up so that women are going to feel totally comfortable there. And also so that your home and the things you have hanging on your walls and the things you have laying around the place reflect who you are and can actually spark really cool conversational topics that can then lead to the seduction. But I want to move on and I want to talk to you about the fact that a lot of guys, you know, view strippers as these unattainable or unaffordable goddesses. Now, you and I have dated a lot of strippers, banged a lot of strippers, and, you know, women are women, and strippers often have insecurities that you would never suspect. They are actually, in some ways, easier to talk to and get to know and seduce than a girl you might meet at the local coffee shop. But for most guys, when they're in the strip club, the nature of the environment, the women on stage wearing these tall platform high heels, you know, these like scantily clad goddesses, that's how they view them. And they think that it is way harder, maybe even impossible, to seduce one of these girls. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think it's an easy thing. It's kind of a lot of guys have their kind of, you know, they see stripper game or getting a catwalk model or whatever as being kind of a higher level of game. And it is a lot tougher for many reasons. It's easier for a few reasons, but I've got kind of two ways of pulling a stripper. And they're kind of like this. The first thing is that I'm not going to be like the other customers. So at one point, I would love it if she says, "Oh, you're not, you know, you're not like the usual guy that comes here," or something like that. That would be an IOI for me.
Mm-hmm. Indicator of interest, yeah.
I've got two ways of doing things. So the first thing is that all the strippers, in my opinion, they don't really like their job. They're doing it for the reason of money. They want to save up the money for another purpose, or they want to fund, you know, something else that's going on. So you might have a stripper that wants to be an actress and that's her real passion, or she wants to, you know, make music, or she wants to save up and put the deposit on an apartment or something. So she's always got something out of stripping that she's passionate about. All of the strippers that I've kind of had a good conversation with, they've all had these external passions. So one method is that you get onto that subject, you find what it is, and you really connect with her on it. Strippers generally don't like the other girls that work in the club, and they work very unsociable hours. They generally come from out of town, so they probably don't have many people or many opportunities to have a, you know, a real kind of heart-to-heart chat. It probably doesn't happen too often. So it is possible to kind of connect with them on a deep level, and then use that as your way to close. She'll be kind of talking about the subject that she hasn't talked about for a while and that is really on her mind. There was a girl that was working in a club in London, and she wanted to be a singer.
Right.
And I really connected with her on that. You know, I get onto that subject saying, "What do you do when you're not here? What's something you like to do when you're not working?" And you normally find out that they want to be, you know, a singer or whatever it is. And she told me this, and we connected on it. And then within about 5 minutes, she said, "Can I ask your advice on something? I haven't been able to ask anyone this. You know, I was working with this producer and this happened, that happened. You know, what do you think I should do?" And a little bit after that, she started crying. And she'd had this thing that had been really on her mind. It was really stressing her out. And she was able to talk to me about it versus, you know, the girls that work there that she doesn't really like, the people she stays with that she doesn't know, and, you know, her family back home that she doesn't want to stress out because they don't know what she's doing, you know, and they wouldn't want to think that things are going badly. So often you can connect with a stripper because, you know, she doesn't have any other options, but you know, she's got a social life that's not very supportive, and she doesn't often meet people that understand her. She's treated like an object. And when I'm doing that, I will normally, she'll come over and she'll have the big display, you know, she'll have her boobs in my face and she'll want me to appreciate her body. I'll generally have a look on my face that's kind of, you know, disdain, like, you know, yeah, whatever, that's, you know, well done. Like, I'm not impressed by that. And then at the point where I start finding something out that's real about her, I start being more interested. And she'll see that I go from, you know, not holding much eye contact, not being that interested, not thinking much of her, almost looking down on her, to being actually, wow, you know, there's something there, kind of giving her more interest. And if she sees that interest increase and, you know, not be there based on her physical looks, but to grow throughout the interaction based on her personality, it's going to be hard for her not to feel kind of, you know, interested in me and excited that that's happened, because that's going to be something that probably never happens in the strip club. So that's one method, and I think that works on a certain kind of stripper. But there's another one that works as well, and I think there's a few girls that work in the club that are very sexual, very sexually confident, very alpha, and they're used to dominating the guys that they talk to. There was a girl recently, she came up, she got in my face, she was very sexual, and she was trying to control the situation sexually. She wanted to kind of make me nervous and bully me into getting a dance. And anything she did, I was comfortable giving it back. So she was talking to me and in a really sexual way. And I pretended I couldn't hear her so that I'd get closer and kind of, you know, go cheek to cheek and kind of go in like I was about to kiss her. And she was like, wow, you know, she kind of, it was done playfully to kind of say, if you can do that to me, I'll do it back.
Right.
She was touching my leg in a certain way. You know, I had my hand about her, around her, so I started kind of stroking her neck. But again, it's done in a tongue-in-cheek, playful way. So I'm not getting off on it. I'm saying, if you're going to flirt with me, I'll flirt back with you, you know, 10 times as hard. So when she's telling me something, instead of listening to what she said, I'll obviously be not listening and kind of nodding, but looking at her mouth and kind of saying, yeah, I'm just thinking about kissing you. So if she's giving me sexual stuff, I'll give it back 10 times as hard. And for a girl that is very sexually confident and used to being in control, used to dominating the situation, that is something that will get her interest, because she probably doesn't meet many men that can handle her. So she's going to meet me and she's going to think, wow, this guy can kind of handle my sexuality and give it back. And that's going to be a turn on. And that's kind of another route that you can go.
Mm-hmm. So let me get your theory on buying lap dances. Do you see buying a dance as a way to accelerate things towards a sexual level? Or is it a rule of yours to never buy lap dances? How do you play it?
I've never gotten a dance and then gotten the girl. So I think it's detrimental to have dances. I'll be having a couple of drinks, but you know, they won't cost that much money. The reason that I'm able to spend more time sitting with them, I guess, is either that they choose to do it and they'll forego the money that night. And that's because, like I said, they don't enjoy their job and they're doing it just for the money. So if they have a distraction from that, they might get, you know, they might get involved with me rather than carrying on doing the rounds. The other thing that you might do is you might go on an off night. So I like going on a Thursday night versus a Friday or Saturday, because the girls aren't so busy. I will go on the least busy night where they don't make as much money. So something I'll do is I'll ask them, you know, when they're busy, when they have to work. I kind of know what's going on. And for example, in London, there's two strip clubs in one chain, and they force the girls to work one night a week in this place that is really, you know, not busy at all, and they never make any money. So they're normally really bored sitting around there. And in that kind of situation, it's really easy. So if you can go on an off night, they will spend more time with you. The other option is that if you're giving them an experience that they like, they will spend time with you as much as they can, apart from when they're called away to kind of go to the stage or whatever it might be. It's possible to spend a lot of time with them either in one go, where you might spend half hour, 40 minutes, which is a nice amount of time, or you might have them come and spend some time with you, like it, and then go and do the rounds and see if there's any money in the room, and then come back to you a bit later.
Yeah, definitely. But I've noticed that in a lot of cases, no matter how well you play it, you know, no matter how well you turn the tables on her when she approaches you and you deflect her questions, she's still going to ask you, whether it's after 1 minute or after 10 minutes, do you want to dance? You know, do you want to buy a lap dance? So at that point, how do you deal with that question?
No, I normally say early on in the interaction that I'm not going to have a dance, but anyway, you know, it's just feed it into something. I'm not going to have a dance, by the way. So they might ask me, you know, what do you do? And I'll say, well, I'm not going to have a dance, by the way, but, you know, for a job I do this, blah, blah, blah. So I might just slip it in there early on so they're under no illusions. if they ask me for a dance, I will always say no, and I might immediately, you know, distract to something else, or I might kind of act disappointed that, you know, they're just going to try and get money off me. And, you know, there's a few different ways to play it. Something that might work quite well is just to say, no, I'm not going to have a dance tonight, you know, and then ask her a question back or change the subject.
And, you know, it's so funny, though, because strippers always say they don't date customers. And I'll tell you a funny story real quick. I was actually surfing the internet, and I came across a very popular website for strippers, a message forum where all the strippers post their questions and answers about the stripper lifestyle and, you know, how to make money in the clubs, you know, and sharing their own techniques for milking money out of customers. Actually, the link to the website is in the book that I wrote. You'll find it in there. And anyway, so I ended up posting a message on the forum about my book. I was basically very complimentary. I just told all the strippers out there, you know, hey, my name is Dean Cortez. I wrote this book on strip club seduction, and it's based on my knowledge in Las Vegas, blah, blah, blah. And it was amazing. So many girls wrote back on that message board. They were like pissed off. They're saying, you know, this book is bullshit. You know, we don't date customers. You know, we don't want guys wasting our time in the club trying to pick us up. We're there to make money. We're doing our jobs. You know, give me a break. Yes, I respect that. However, all these girls date guys and sleep with guys that they meet in the club, as we discussed earlier. So on the one hand, strippers want to protect, you know, the sanctity of their profession. And they want to have us all believe they don't date customers, they don't sleep with customers. They're there to do a job and entertain us, nothing more. But on the other hand, these are women. These are beautiful young women. And most of them are single, or they're involved with a guy who, let's face it, doesn't have the means to take her out of the strip club. Because no guy wants his girlfriend working in a strip club if they can provide otherwise for her. The only guys who want their girlfriends to strip for a living, and a lot of these guys are dating these girls, are guys who have no money, and they're relying on their women to support them. And you know, when you've got game, that is a very easy kind of girl to snatch away from whatever loser she is currently dating. So I'm just saying, gambler, this whole notion that strippers don't date customers, it's all bullshit, don't you think?
It is bullshit. You can definitely date a stripper. She definitely has dated guys from the strip club before if she's worked there any amount of time. And it's just the same as dating a waitress. You know, oh, she's just working, you can't get her number. Of course you can get her number. It's just the same as any other situation. You just have to be sensitive to the fact that, you know, she is working. It's not a complete cold approach. But there's no way she can turn off her attraction just because she's at work. People meet people at work. That's what happens. In her job, she's actually going to be quite likely to date a guy that works in the strip club, one of the security guys or, you know, the management. Those guys are always dating the girls that work there. So they're used to meeting guys at work. They maybe have a negative view of the average customer. So they might in their head think, oh, you know, I don't like the customers. But if they really think about it, they do meet the occasional person that they like that they would consider dating. And like I said, a girl that's working every night at the strip club talking to men, she's going to meet a certain amount that she'd actually like to see. And if they've got game and they can make it happen, then, you know, she's going to see them outside the club.
Exactly.
It makes a lot of sense. You know, it's actually a good way for them to meet a lot of guys and find guys that are right for them. Just like a guy that's doing hundreds of approaches, you know, she's doing the same thing. 90% of guys she won't actually like, but she's going to meet a few that she clicks with. And of course, she's going to want to, you know, take that opportunity.
Okay, so I'm the founder of MAC Tactics, you know, that system. And a lot of the principles in that program apply towards strippers, as they do to any other kind of girl. And you are the founder of PUA Training. So I'm curious, as far as the methods that you teach, do they apply towards strippers?
Yeah, definitely. I think two things that I teach that apply really well, kind of the ways to create sexual tension and intimacy and things like that. So, you know, slowing down your voice, smoothing out, holding a constant eye contact, changing the way you touch, and really just having control of that energy and bringing it down so that it creates sexual tension. And And, you know, if you can raise a stripper's heart rate, she's used to raising the heart rate of men and having an effect on men. And if you can kind of be like, well, you're not affecting me, but I'm affecting you. And she sees that you're cool and calm and collected. You're not saying anything sexual, but you're making her feel these things just by creating the sexual tension non-verbally with your solid eye contact and the way you've slowed down and smoothed out and left pauses. If you do that, that's one of the things that I teach that applies. But also the connection stuff is important. So I teach that there's a way to get down to the important stuff, which is the emotions. So, you know, the feelings that associate with her actions. So if she's doing something like on the side, she wants to be a dancer or a singer or an actress, she will have feelings and emotions associated with, you know, why she wants to do that, her motivation for doing that, her feeling when she's actually doing that stuff. And if you can get down to that level and really understand where she's at, you're going to put yourself in a category that probably only 3 or 4 people in her life are in. And those people are people she's known her whole life, her friends and family. So if you can put yourself in that category, it's incredibly powerful. And it comes down to understanding the emotions, the motivations and character traits. And it's almost like opening her up with a sign, a symbol that you know that where she's at and what she's talking about. And it's kind of like cold reading. So if she says, you know, she wants to be an actress or she wants to be a dancer, you could just say, oh, cool, that's nice. Or you could say, you know, I imagine when you're dancing, you feel, you know, it's a way for you to kind of express your emotions through the way you move your body and blah, blah, blah. And if you can kind of cold read it, even if you get it wrong, an attempt to understand will kind of open her up, and she'll tell you the reason, she'll tell you what she feels, and then you can connect on it. Because at the end of the day, all humans share the same emotions. You know, we might get a buzz from picking up women, and that'll be a similar buzz to the buzz she gets from, you know, making a lot of money one night, you know. So we're all sharing the same emotions, but expressing them in different ways. So whatever this woman's situation is, you can connect on it. You can try and understand it and see why she does it and how she feels right when she's doing it. Mm-hmm. And if you can feed that back to her, she'll open up, she'll tell you a lot, and she'll get to the point where she says something like, wow, I feel like I can talk to you about this stuff, or wow, I feel like I've known you for a long time, or whatever. And that's kind of the sign that you've reached that deeper level of intimacy. So the conversation skills, the connection, and kind of the sexual tension building are some tools that work really, really well when talking to strippers.
Yeah, and, you know, from knowing so many strippers and dating so many strippers, I have heard some wild stories. You know, a lot of the girls that I know that work in the clubs, they have told me that most of the guys who go to the clubs don't go there because they're horny and they want to check out naked chicks and they want to get, you know, cop a feel. They're there because they want a beautiful woman to just to sit with them and talk to them and take their side so they can relate their problems with their job, with their wife, with their girlfriend, and have this woman just listen and sympathize and talk to them, which really sounds pathetic, honestly. But it is true. A lot of the guys go to the club for this reason. This is how desperate men are, just to have a woman to sit there and listen and not tell them what to do all the time. You know, Gambler, there was one stripper in Vegas at one of the big clubs that I used to bang. She's really hot. And she told me she had a regular customer who was an older guy who was really rich. And every time he would get in a fight with his wife, he would go to the club and find her and have her sit with him and just kind of like hold his hand and listen to him. And he would give her $1,000 cash, stick it in her freaking, you know, bra, just for listening to him talk. So I would say to the guys out there listening to this, it's really not that hard to differentiate yourself from the average customer. A lot of these guys are really weird. They have bad social skills. They have no game. And when you use these techniques, you are a breath of fresh air to a stripper who has to work every night, you know, trying to be nice to these other guys who are so boring or obnoxious or treat them as sex objects or whatever. You know what I mean, Gambler?
I think that you've got a lot of guys that go to the strip club, they fall into two categories. So one, they're just trying to perv on the girls and just, you know, check everything out. They'd, you know, they want to see all the naked bodies and stuff. And they're, you know, the women can't really like those guys because they're just immediately going to be put off by that kind of behavior. And then you've got these guys that, yeah, they're a bit lonely and they're desperate and they don't have any other chance to spend time with a woman for that long. And they're just going to drop tons of cash on it. And so it's going to be tough for the woman to like those guys more than, you know, she might feel sorry for them. But they're just not confident, cool with it guys to be doing that, to be, you know, spending. How can a girl respect a guy that's given her $1,000 just to sit down and talk to her?
Right.
You know, I'd like a stripper to talk to me and realize that would be ridiculous for me to do because I don't need to. I could go to a regular club and, you know, the girls are going to talk to me. So yeah, it's when you're going in there and you've got a game plan like we talk about, it should be easy to differentiate yourself from the other guys and start getting some results.
That's right. The bottom line is it's all about getting results. Hey, Gambler, I want to thank you for being here today on the program.
Thanks, Dean. It was great speaking with you.
All right. Well, there you have it. That was Gambler, the founder of PUA Training and one of the hottest pickup artists coming straight out of London to rap with us today about the secrets of strip club seduction. Hope you enjoyed it. Until next time, it's your wingman, Dean Cortez, and I'm signing off.